We are in John chapter 17, glory for us, starting about verse 15. First of all, we talked about a couple of weeks ago, we talked about it is a upward focus to the Father. Then it was an inward focus. Christ prayed for himself. Then there is the outward focus, for the disciples. He prayed for their preservation, for their protection. And now in verse 16, he prays for their purity. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. So what in the world is worldliness? There's been a lot of confusion about worldliness. It has spawned confusion, legalism, division, and just some plain weirdness in Christianity. There was a man named Simeon of the Stylite in the 5th century who tried to escape worldliness by building a pillar, and he lived on top of this pillar for 36 years. And people would come to hear him preach while he's living on top of this pillar. And some of them were only, one pillar was only like 6x6. One guy lived on, I'm just thinking of the logistics of living up there that long. I don't know how it works. But anyway, they would hand up mail. One guy would climb a ladder and hand him up his mail, etc. Trying to get away from the world. Of course, that's what monasteries are. Men want to get away from the world and close to God. So we're going to lay aside all these things, not speak for a year. And then, et cetera. In our, just across over in Ohio, we have the Amish, we have the Mennonites, who want to set themselves aside from the world, et cetera. There is a group of Mennonites known as the Weaverland Conference or the Horning Church who drive cars, but they must be completely black. All the chrome has to be covered black. And so they can drive those cars. They're about, having gone to Amish country several times, about 12 to 14 orders of Amish from ultra-conservative to those less conservative. Basically, your bishop is going to determine what you can and cannot do in your community. And so they're trying to escape from the world. I will have to say, my wife and I enjoy going to the Amish country. It's the most relaxing place we have found to go because we love to go by all the farms and see the beautiful flowers and the great gardens and et cetera. So they're not part of the world, trying to stay away from the world. It says they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Verse 17, the power of truth, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. He asked the Father to set these men aside from the world by the word of God. And by the way, that's it for us. If you want to, we have got to follow the word of God. It's the backdrop for their lives. The Lord's will has not changed. He still intends for us to be separated from the world, to be clean, to be holy. You say, but Pastor, I've got to live in the world. Yes, but you don't have to be of the world. We are in the world, but not of the world. We don't have to do all the worldly things. Purity that the Lord asks of us is a purity based upon Scripture. I'm telling you, it comes to this. This is the ground zero for your life. This is where it's got to stop. It's right here. This is what we build our lives on. When you start waffling from the clear teaching of Scripture as the one prominent Baptist denomination, some of that have done the last couple of weeks prominently, but the pastorship is open to a woman as well, and they believe it's for some reason they've got a reinterpreted Scripture to say it's okay for a woman to be the senior pastor in the church, that's going to become divisive. It's just a start. When you ignore the authority of Scripture, you have what we have in our world today, a church that's gone to pot, a church that has no influence in the world at all because we've lost the holiness of God. And we've lost the importance of His Word. We need revival. We need repentance. Yes, Pastor, we need that in the White House. We need it in the church house. Revival comes to those that have first been saved. You can't be revived if you haven't been saved the first time. Right? Revival's for Christians. And when we get right, then the Lord maybe can help others to get right. We can show them how. And so that, it starts with us. It starts with the pastor. It starts with me. I've got to be living right. So God's truth is a separating force. Did He not say He came to bring a sword? Yes. God's truth is divisive. And if you've not seen division, you've not looked at anywhere in America of late. We are a country, it seems like it's like the Grand Canyon now. We got those who are absolutely for sure on this side, and we got those who are on what we call the right. I'm sorry. This side over here, and they're just, it's divided. Somebody's been very successful over the last, especially 3 or 4 years, of dividing our own country. There have been a group of people. I don't even know all their names, but they've been very successful. So God's Word, I like this statement about God's Word. Everything God has to say is true, absolutely, not relatively, completely, not partially, and vitally, not incidentally. The end of God's truth is not just wisdom, much as the goal of the Greek philosophers. The end of God's truth is holiness. When you see what God expects from us who are obedient, which we're all be obedient, then we are to be holy. We are to be Christ-like. God's Word changes lives. The Faith Trio sings a song that I know that God's Word changes lives. It does. Marcus Rainsford said these words in a book called Our Lord Prays for His Own. He said, if there is one thing more remarkable than another in the recorded life of the Lord Jesus, it is His constant endorsement of Scripture and His evident faith in and constant use of Scripture. He says, if anyone was ever qualified to speak on his own apart from Scripture, it was Christ. And yet He never did. Just for a moment, if you think Jesus needed to use Scripture and found it so important to use Scripture, where does that leave you and I? Oh my goodness gracious. I've heard some men that can talk, they talk with me long before I'm done listening. They keep going on and on and on. I'm done listening a long time ago. Listen, when God speaks, we should listen. Whether it's E.F. Hutton or not. It should be when God speaks, we hear from Him. Becoming an old, like what the Andreas Kostenberger says, he says, personal holiness is not to be an end of itself, but a means to an end. It is reaching the lost world for Christ. Yes. I'm telling you, I don't want to listen to a Christian who says he's a Christian and lives like the world. I have no time. I'm sorry. I have no time for that. I want to learn from someone who is living the life, who is walking with God, not someone who's so, it's like today. We want to see how much worldliness we can add into our lives and still be called Christian. It is. I'm telling you. Whether it's our what we watch, what we read, what we say, how we dress, how we act, where we go, what we do, etc. I want to be just like this. I'm telling you, we need to be like Christ. J.C. Ryle, the 19th century theologian, said, holy living is the great proof of the reality of Christianity. Men may refuse to see the truth of our arguments, but they cannot evade the evidence of a godly life. We can't. I see a lot of things about him, but Daniel. They could not find diddly wrong with Daniel, except he worships God faithfully. How are we going to twist that around? Well, let's change the narrative. Let's call right wrong, wrong right. And now we can... Now we can get the Christians today to not be able to meet anymore. Now we can get the Christians that have closed their churches because we have now called right wrong. We've called what's wrong right. So now we're on the outside. We haven't changed, but now we've gone from being on the inside to the outside. We've gone from being normal to being radical far righters. That's me.
Amen.
Radical far right. That's me. Have you ever wondered sometimes, I maybe not wondered this week or today even, why you're still here? Why are you, as a Christian, still here? It's like, I'm guessing when you pass your brown belt to black belt or black, I don't know, whatever it goes, or yellow belt, and you start wearing that thing immediately, the new color, I would. I mean, if I was a, only thing I can do about karate is say the word. That's all I know about it. So I can't even spell it. I don't think K-I-R-A-T-E. I might be able to spell it. Maybe. I want that new thing immediately. If I get a sticker for doing, when I was, if Mrs. Herman said, you practice every day, I want a sticker for that. Right then. My sticker right now. So why are you still here, Christian? Why are you still on this earth if you're a child of God and our citizenship is not in heaven?
Yes.
Aren't we going to heaven? Yes, and one day He's going to come, a midnight cry somewhere, He's going to take us home, we're going to step on shore, we're going to find it celestial, it's going to be amazing. By the way, there's a train coming at 11:30 tonight in this parking lot going to heaven. Would we all say, let's go? Set my alarm. Seriously, think about it. Would you want to go if the train comes tonight at 11:30? A lot of Christians would say, well, that's going to interrupt my plans for this week. I mean, I'm going to buy a new car. I've got a new job starting. And somebody, I guess, they do have a new job. That's nothing in comparison to Christ coming back.
Amen.
But I'm telling you, I don't know all your hearts. And I don't know hearts. I'm telling you, there's a lot of Christians who would say, can I wait? I promise you, there's going to be a lot of Christians say, no, it's not that important. I want to wait till I have done my thing, till I have earned my money, till I've got to retirement, till I've fished and I finally caught a 10-pound bass. I'm waiting for catching a 10-pound bass. I'm waiting for eternity for that one. But I'm going to wait until I've done everything I want to do. Shame on us. Shame on the pastor. If you ever think like that, I'm telling you, there's a home. This world's passing through. What's your purpose in life? It's to glorify God. Listen to these. I found these quite good. Why you left here? If we were taken from the world would be in utter darkness and would perish. Jesus said, you're the light of the world, so shine. If we were taken from the world would not have us as a witness to be a means of salvation unto them, so go win others to Christ. If we were taken from the world, we would be denied the opportunity to serve Jesus in the same place we have sinned against Him, so serve Jesus. If we were taken from the world, we would not see that there are aspects of God's wisdom and truth and power and grace that are better appreciated on earth rather than in heaven. So see the glory of the Lord. If we are taken from the world, we will be denied the place to prepare for heaven. There is no purgatory. Our preparation is now. So get ready for heaven. And if we were taken from the world, we could not show the power of God's grace to preserve us in the midst of difficulty. So continue on. If every Christian immediately was promoted to heaven, who tells the lost world? He's given it to us, the church. That's why church is so important. It's not some nebulous thing that I can even take a lead. No! The church is God's means for you and I to share the gospel and to get the good news out and to grow in grace and knowledge and to be encouraged. Amen. That's why we're here. The Word of God is central and we are to be encouraged to walk with God. There's somebody else doing the same thing. So I'll have to say, when I hear some of you share your problems of fixing things, I'm glad it's not just me. Now, I'm not trying to wish problems, because some of you had more than your share of late. I can think of, especially one person who's drunk. You had more than your share of late. But I'm telling you, I'm not the only one that has that struggle. And you, now I can tell you how, there's two or three things I can tell you how not to do. I can tell you a lot of things how not to do it. There's only one way it works, isn't it? Because I've learned by the school of hard knocks. We want to bypass that and to get to the school of easy street. We have seen what a country does when they want to go the easy street way. We are living in a country where it's all about me. Do you not understand that life is about service? Life is about surrender. Life is about giving up. The world does not revolve around you. Or me. It revolves around Him. Amen. And if you're not on board with that, you're missing out the best. Matter of fact, I can say from Scripture, I believe, you were created to worship God. And if you're not doing that, you're not doing what you're created for.
That's right. Amen.
You wonder why people are so confused. Well, Job, Moses, Elijah, and Jonah all prayed to be taken out of the world. God said, no, I got more things for you to do. Verse 18. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I sent them into the world. Interesting, I like what Philip says. Thus, as the Lord lived on earth to represent the Father, so we now live on earth to represent Christ. He prolongs His days through us and carries on His work on earth through us. He's gone. He was going to leave there. Is this not the day before He dies? It is. And yet He's going to leave them to change the world. And I love that phrase in Acts. They turned the world what? They turned the world upside down. We've had our world turned upside down for the wrong reason. It's not even a pineapple upside down cake. It's a flop. It's a terrible thing. My wife made one of the most beautiful pies when we first married, an apple pie. It looked great. It could have been a picture of Happy Living, or Country Living, whatever it is, or Green Up Living magazine. But it was tasteless. It was just, and she knows it, she admits it. It was beautiful on the outside, had no taste. I'd rather it taste good than look bad. You know, you understand that? She can do both now, so woohoo! Got myself out of that one. Okay. So there we are. Truth is truth. Sent, the word, as Boy says, it means it's to send, to dispatch. It's a sending forth. We're not merely to remain in the world because we can do nothing else. We are to be seen positively as we are the master's agents and messengers. And we're not secret agents. I remember Christ's secret service. He has no secret service.
That's right.
Has none. He has people who are openly tell somebody what God has done for you. There should be no doubt. When I see your life, you are a child of God. Because I can see it. It's like if you've been cleaning the... We had this illustration. I'd made it up on this. If you've been in the muck in the cow stall, and you come in and have it... I can tell where you've been. If you leave your fish in your car for a whole week in the hot sun... Oh, woo-hoo! I can tell what's been in there. Can I tell you have been with Jesus? Can I? Can the world tell you've been with Jesus? If they can't, we're missing it. We're missing it. We're missing what God's called us to be. I like what the MacArthur says. Paul explained to the Corinthians that he did not at all mean that they should not associate with the immoral people of the world, or with the covetous and swindlers, or with the idolaters, for then they would have to be out of the world. On the contrary, believers are to reach the lost world with the truth of the gospel, and this is their primary reason for remaining here. It is the one thing they could not do better in heaven. Reaching the world, the lost world, is the one thing we could not do better in heaven, because this is where the lost world is. That's why we're here. That's why you're here. Far from taking the believers out of the world, he has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Verse 19, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified through truth. The truth. Sanctification, set apart. We've been set apart for the work, the consecration to the work of God. So that was it. There was the upward focus, the Father. There was the inward focus, himself. There was the onward focus, the disciples. And finally, outward focus, the disciples. And now there is the onward focus, his followers. Verse 20, neither pray I for these alone, woohoo, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. He's praying for us.
Yes.
He's praying for us now. Doesn't the Bible not say he ever liveth to make intercession for us at the right hand of the Father? When you sin and the devil says, look at that, Tim Wright, he's such a scoundrel, and the devil will be right. He says, no, he's trusted me as personal Savior. He's under the blood. His sins are under the blood. He's making intercession for us. And so three things under here. First of all, he prayed for our harmony. I love harmony. Good harmony. I don't like hominy. And I can handle grits if it has a lot of honey or something in there. Grits. But I like harmony. I like a church in harmony. I like a quartet in harmony. I like a choir in harmony. He prayed for the harmony, 21, that they may be one, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee. That they also may be one in us. That the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Can you not see that? Because we are living right, the world will believe that thou hast sent me. Our testimony carries a lot of weight. The gravity of you living for Christ is powerful. Now, unity, by the way, I just read this week, but there's a lot of, perhaps, ununity. There are 40,000, understand, Christian denominations. 40,000, I read the staggering statistics of all types. Now, a lot of them are just simply Christian in name. But Christian unity is not denominational unity. For example, the World Council of Churches, which, by the way, their central committee is meeting this weekend in Geneva, Switzerland. They're pretty much a social organization, the World Council of Churches, the National Council of Churches. They say, let's lay aside everywhere where we disagree, and we'll just come together. That's not Bible. So unity is not denominational unity, and Christian unity is not uniformity. Oh, be careful, little ear, what you hear. We sang that song. I hope they do it tonight. Because I have the younger folks working on the wise man. And we do the sand. Sand! Duh! Just like that. So we do, wise man built his house upon the sand! Duh! Working ahead for choir. So I hope they do that tonight. I hope they come out tonight. We have a group to sing. I enjoyed that. It makes me smile to think about that. It's not uniformity. That's the B-O-D-Y. I struggle with boy because B-O-Y-D. I write boy a lot. B-O-D-Y, body. Every part of your body is not the same. Can you imagine if we're all an ear? If we were all eyes, by the way, that's the most popular thing. I started getting out the well, be careful. And I want an eye, I want an eye. One time I had to give two eyes to two, and then sing it again, and give two eyes to two more. Because everybody wants an eye. Oh, be careful, little eye, what you see. And bless their hearts, I would say. Or listen what you say. And Connor would say, you know, you're not supposed to say shut up. I said, you're right. I said, my parents would never let me say that growing up, the word shut up. So that's one of those things we shouldn't. Little lips. All of adults would learn that.
Yeah.
Oh, be careful, little lips, what we say. It's not uniformity. There was a time, early 70s, if you're older, you may remember. Not saying that you're old, I'm saying if you're older. Witness Lee. You remember the Chinese pastor in California, Witness Lee? A lot of hippies shaved their head, and they started wearing the white shirts with the real skinny black ties. And he was Episcopalian, and he did not believe in normal. But they followed him. In fact, they looked like, and well, understand, they even sounded, had the same gestures as this Chinese pastor, Witness Lee. Is kind of eerie. But that's not Christian unity. The very analogy of being members of God's Christ body precludes unity, as far as being uniform, precludes uniformity. Now, we want to be unified, but precludes uniformity. We're all different. Well, there's not everybody likes Diet Mountain Dew in here. I got at least one. Got two in here now. Oh, three. Got three. I got four. I got five. Sorry. And you're a pastor. It's not uniformity. That's not it. Despite their outward denominational difference, all true Christians are spiritually united by regeneration and the belief that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone. So we have an invisible church made up of true believers in Christ across the world. I believe that across the world there are. And it's commitment to the absolute authority of Scripture. Romans 12:5. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. So my foot is important. My ear is important. My hands, eyes, nose, all those things. Hair is not quite so important. The unity for which Christ prayed is not achieved by hunting enthusiastically for the lowest common theological denominator. We're not looking for, do you believe the Bible? Yes. Do you believe in the Bible is black on the outside and has white? Yes, I believe that. Okay, we're good to go. That's not what we're looking for. But by a common adherence to the apostolic gospel, by love that is joyfully self-sacrificing, by undaunted commitment to the shared goals of the mission with Christ's followers, we're charged. That's what. Salvation by grace through faith in Christ alone and the biblical authority. Now we're talking unity. Verse 23, and the glory which thou gavest me, I've given them. They may have be one, even as we are one. What an amazing thing. Though not the same infinite divine extent, the spiritual life and power that belongs to the Trinity also belongs to us in some way as believers. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. It blows my mind that the church's task, I love this, the church's task is to live as to not obstruct that glory. The church's task is to live to not obstruct that glory. We were singing the songs this week, and a couple ladies sit over here, and I was over here, and I was all the time checking because I was right here, and they couldn't see, and I was obstructing them seeing the screen over here. Listen, are you obstructing God's glory? Oh, my. I'll have to say I have. Brother Gary and I were talking about, Gary Messer and I were talking about, somehow we got on Johnny Cash and Whopping the Line this morning. I said, I walked the line, or something like that. Well, sometimes I've walked the line, sometimes I wish I could go back and erase some things. Oh, boy, I tell you, I wish I could go back and erase some things. I do. I failed so many times. Barclay says, we must never think of our crosses as our penalty. We must think of it as our glory. The harder the task we give a student or a craftsman or a surgeon, the more we honor him. So when it is hard to be a Christian, we must regard it as our glory, as the honor given to us by God.
Amen.
When's the last time you thought of it like that?
Yeah.
It's like, Lord, please get me out of this. Please. I said, Lord, you've honored me. You've honored me. And Lord, by your grace, I'm going to handle it correctly. He prayed that it be marked with unity. Now, it's obvious if there's two people, there's going to be two opinions. If there's 100 people, there's going to be 100 opinions. The secret is being able to disagree without being disagreeable. In other words, everything we must do should be in a view to maintaining the unity within the body of Christ. One man says, there's no room for struggles within the body of Christ. You can mark it down. I like this. When there's disunity within the church, someone's outside the will of God. When there is disunity within the church, someone's outside the will of God. Why is it so important? I'm telling you, we are living advertisements for Christ. A lady said, one of the new ladies, I can't remember the last name, but they brought their kids 4 nights in a row, or maybe all, I can't remember. On the way out, never been seen her before until this week. She said, it's been wonderful to be here. It's because you, by God's grace, handled things as it should have been handled. You, by God's grace, showed love to her children. Only by God's grace can we do anything like that. But that's the goal. That is the goal. He prayed for the harmony. He prayed for their home going in 24. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. The word that I will that they, there's two words for I will. There's fellow, which means a purpose. It is used of the will of God, which is unalterable and firmly fixed. And there's the word bulomai, which is a desire. For example, in 2 Peter 3, not willing that any should perish. They won't perish, but they have to decide and receive Christ as Savior. So he's not willing, but they have to receive him. This word here, there's no contest. I'm declaring this by purpose that everyone who receives me will be with me in heaven. We're going home. We're going home. That's the idea here in 24. Father, I will that they also. They're going to be with me. It's not, they're going to be with me. The pastor went to the Soviet Union. 1,500 impoverished Christians were there. And he was able to, for several hours, share them what the hope of the purpose of heaven. And they were they had to work daily just to eat. And they were so happy, they wept with joy at the look forward to heaven. He says, quoting now, their response was strikingly different from that of many Christians in the West who have things so good that they do not know what it is to long for heaven. As a result, they live as if going to heaven would be an unwelcome intrusion into their busy schedules, an interruption of their career goals or vacation plans. They do not want to see heaven until they have enjoyed all the pleasures the world has to offer. When they see it all, and when they've seen it all and done it all, or when they age or get sick, and their ability to enjoy the pleasures decreases, then they will be ready for heaven then. While it's true that you, as the old spiritual says, everybody talking about heaven ain't going there, it's also true everybody going to heaven ain't talking about it. We're not talking about it. When the church loses its focus on heaven, it becomes self-indulgent, self-centered, materialistic, worldly, spiritually weak, lethargic, like the church in America. Well, they've got it in there. That's what we do. We focus on ourselves, become introverted, and we're no good to anybody. The only way you're going to be valuable is when you make me a servant. Like you, dear Lord. That's when you are doing what God wants you to do. You should be done with this arrogant, it's got to be my way or the highway. Godly people long for heaven. Thou wilt show me the path of life in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. For I am a strait betwixt two, having a desire to be with Christ, which is far, far better. I say, willing rather to be absent from the body, present with the Lord. And so eloquently sung earlier, but just think of stepping on shore and finding it heaven, touching a hand and finding it God's, of breathing new air and finding it celestial, of waking up in glory and finding it home. Now that, ladies and gentlemen, that should stir our apple butter. Finding it home. He prayed for their hearts as well. The rest of the chapter, I'm not even going to go through it. Someday, glory for us. So what is your purpose? What is your purpose in life? Is to glorify God. starts with knowing Christ as personal Savior. After you know Christ as personal Savior, have you been obedient? Follow Him in baptism? Active in your local church? Are we telling others? Are we reading Bible? Are we praying? Are we having a world that sees Christ in us? One of the most challenging songs I have heard of late. Do they see Jesus in me? And is this face that they see in the mirror the one I want others to see? Do I show in the way that I walk in my life the love that you have given to me? My heart's desire is to be like you in all that I do and all that I am. Do they see Jesus in me? Do they recognize your face? Do I communicate your love and your grace? Do I reflect who you are in the way I choose to be? Do they see Jesus in me? If they don't see Jesus in me, I'm missing it. I'm missing what God has for me.
Yeah.
And you're missing what God has for you. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for your love, that you would include me in this, in these, those who would trust you, who are to come after, and even now you are at their Father's right hand making intercession for us. Lord, forgive me of sin. Lord, help me to be done with desire, sinful desire. I know it won't be until we get to heaven. But Lord, may I flush my mind with your word, the washing of regeneration, renewing. May your word be what cleanses my heart and mind. So Lord, this morning, before I have the invitation, if there's someone who needs to be saved, give their heart and life to you. They've made it outward, perhaps even a mental assent to God, but they've never trusted you and asked for the forgiveness of their sin. May they do that today. Perhaps they've done that, but never been baptized by immersion. Would help them take that step of obedience. Perhaps they've done those two things, want to become part of our church family here. Or perhaps they just need to come and do business with you. So Lord, may we not spurn your Holy Spirit. May we be thankful the Holy Spirit is convicting us. And may we respond as you say, I pray. Amen.